Well, good afternoon. This special live edition of Issues and Ideas features a debate between three people who are vying for the position of District Attorney of San Luis Obispo County. I'm Larry Rutter, and I'll be moderating this debate for the next hour and 20 minutes. Now, two of the candidates' names will appear on the June 3rd primary election ballot. The third is a write-in candidate whose votes the county clerk will be recording. The candidates whose name appear on the ballot are, in alphabetical order, Tim Gavello, currently the deputy to the current district attorney, Dan Dow, an assistant district attorney in the same office. Both Mr. Gavello and Mr. Dow have been declared candidates since late last year. Then in early May, Paul Phillips, an attorney for Pismo Beach, joined the race. And by submitting the requisite 20 signatures, the county clerk said she will be counting his write-in ballots. All three individuals are with us here in the studio, Mr. Covello, Mr. Dow, and Mr. Phillips. Now, the format of the debate is as follows. Each candidate will have an opening remark of 4 minutes. Then there will be a round of 2-minute responses and then an optional round of 1-minute responses. That'll be followed by a series of questions for the candidates, many of which have been supplied by our listeners. And then finally, each candidate will have an opportunity for closing remarks. Now, originally, this live debate was scheduled for 1 hour, but that was before Mr. Phillips entered the race. It'll now be an hour and 20 minutes. The program On Being will be heard beginning at 2:20 this afternoon. Nonetheless, our time is bounded by programming demands, so we will be aggressively enforcing the time limits. We have a timekeeper in the studio who will be flashing cards for the candidates indicating time remaining in each segment. She's Christina Favuzzi, a third-year student at Cal Poly and an intern with KCBX News Department. Okay. Now, our opening remarks of 4 minutes each. We begin with Mr. Covello.
Thank you, Larry, and thank KCBX for having us today. One quick correction. You actually got our titles reversed. I'm the assistant district attorney in the office. Dan's a deputy district attorney.
Ouch.
And I've been with the office for 21 years. For the last 6 of those years, I've been actually as part of the management team, the administrative staff that's been running what is essentially the largest law office in the county and one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the county. 100 people. 34 attorneys, including the elected work there, 15 sworn investigators, 20 people working in the victim witness division who service about 10,000 victims a year. It's a very large operation with a budget. This last year we filed a budget of $14.8 million. And for the last 6 years, I've been running that office as a chief deputy district attorney starting 6 years ago and a little over a year ago. Jerry Shea, the district attorney, promoted me to his assistant, second in command, and I'm actually the acting district attorney in his absence. I got to that point, Larry, by doing what most deputy DAs do. You start out trying cases right away, and for the decade and a half before I went onto the management team, I tried just about everything there was to try. I started with misdemeanors. By the time I'd been in the office for 6 years, I'd tried 3 strikes trials, murder trial, and was assigned my first capital case. I've tried many of the most complicated and serious jury trials in the county's history, starting with People versus Rex Allen Krebs, who's now on death row. I've served on several others. The last one that I finished up was the last 2 of 5 defendants who murdered Destiny Myers down in Napomo. And while I, during that decade and a half that I tried those cases, I also did other, served other functions in the office, officer involved. Created training programs for police officers, outreach liaison. And these are the things that I've been doing now for 21 years. And the reason that that is all important is because it's in that 21 years that you learn what works in a DA's office and what does not work in a DA's office. And you learn what sort of things that an office needs to sort of keep running. And right now, for the last 3 years, both as chief deputy and assistant district attorney, I've been the person in the office who's been tasked with dealing with what is facing one of the most serious problems facing our community, which is the prison realignment, AB 109, it's known as. And we've been working on that in tandem or in conjunction with a number of our criminal justice partners. AB 109, prison realignment, simply because of state prison overcrowding, it's pushed a lot of the prison population and a lot of the crime problems we have down to the local level, to the county level. And what we're having to do now Because of that law is we're having to address our own overcrowding. Our jail is at capacity. So everything that we do going forward is got to be seen through the prism of prison realignment. And that means with our most serious crimes, we have to be more vigilant, and we have to make sure that those people who are absolutely deserving and eligible of going to state prison end up in a state prison and not in our county jail. That's bad for our custodial staff. It's bad for our community. But what it also means is for those 500 felonies that once would have sent you to state prison and now will send you out to Kansas Avenue to our county jail, that what we need to do is be much more creative in how we go about serving the needs of those people and the community by collaborating with other folks. And what that means simply is alternatives to custody. That means treatment programs. It means partnering with nonprofits as well as our regular criminal justice partners to make sure that we are filling gaps in services so that we can prevent people from recidivating as they have in the past. So there's much going on, and I look forward to continuing working.
Tim Covello, a candidate for district attorney. Our next speaker is also a candidate for district attorney, a write-in candidate, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Larry, and good afternoon to everyone. KCBX has fond memories for me growing up here in San Luis Obispo. My father was a big supporter, and he always liked to look at the different premiums that one would get for giving their pledges. And so the one that he liked most was the shoestrings that said KCBX all over them. And I tried to convince him every time, you don't need another set of shoestrings. Well, he didn't want the mugs. He didn't want the music. He wanted the shoestrings. So KCBX and shoestrings go together for us. My name is Paul Phillips, and I am the write-in candidate for district attorney. I have been a criminal lawyer in San Luis Obispo County for nearly 32 years. On June 10th, it'll be 32 years. That'll be the anniversary of my swearing in as an attorney. There have been three different district attorneys in that time that I've been practicing here, and never has the office of the district attorney been in the condition that it finds itself now. The district attorney's office needs new leadership with a fresh approach to deal with the challenges that face our community and our law enforcement. A little background, I've been married for 34 years. We have five children and two grandchildren. I'm a fifth-generation resident of San Luis Obispo County. Both of my sons are active duty military. My son-in-law is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Just last week, one of my daughters received her master's degree from San Diego State in social work, and she finished her last internship with the VA, working with returning veterans. I taught at Cal Poly in the College of Business between the years 1982 to 2010 while doing my practice. In the College of Business, it was business law, but we call it legal responsibilities of business, and then the upper division class, governmental and social influences on business, talking about regulation and government. I've served on the board of directors of local nonprofits. I've helped to establish nonprofit corporations. I've handled every type of case that the district attorney's office prosecutes many times over. The majority of my practice has been in the criminal law. We need to be creative in our approach to the prosecution and punishment of crime. We no longer have the financial resources nor the prisons to continue business as usual. The district attorney's mission statement says to bring justice and safety to our community by aggressively and fairly prosecuting crime and protecting the rights of crime victims. Well, we can only achieve this mission fully if we take into consideration the new rules and work together to create viable options. No plea bargaining or less plea bargaining is not an option. It is too costly for all concerned. We have plenty of laws in place to charge the correct crimes, to put those who commit crimes right where they belong, either back in the community or with treatment, in the county jail, in the county jail prison, or in prison. And the reason why I call it county jail prison and prison is because the realignment, AB 109, that's what happens now. Incarceration needs to be followed by treatment. Without treatment, our community is not being made as safe as it can be. Education programs reduce recidivism. Eligibility criteria for these alternative programs need to be changed to reflect the new requirements that the laws have imposed and to make sure that with evidence-based practices, our community gets the best results for its investment, safety, and justice. My 32 years, I've learned a lot of lessons as a lawyer. I will take those lessons and apply them as the district attorney. And so what I'm providing to the voters as a write-in candidate, as the write-in candidate, is a local choice for positive change, and they need to fill in the bubble and write in my name. Thank you.
That was the voice of Paul Phillips, candidate for district attorney, San Luis Obispo County. Another candidate for district attorney, San Luis Obispo County, Dan Dow.
Thank you very much, Larry, and thank you to KCBX for hosting this forum. It's a great service to the voters of San Luis Obispo County. My name is Dan Dow, and I am a deputy district attorney here in San Luis Obispo County. And I'm running for district attorney because I absolutely love our community. I moved here because I had initially been exposed to the Central Coast some 23 years ago when I was assigned to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, learning Korean as a young military intelligence soldier within the Army. Every chance we had to get away, we would tool up and down the Central Coast, and I fell in love with this area and am so fortunate to be back here. My wife and I are happy and blessed to live here, and we live in Templeton where we raise our two children, and we are very committed to our community. I want to thank Mr. Jerry Shea, the current DA who's retiring, for his service of 37 years to this community. He hired me. He gave me a start many years ago, even while I was still a law student, where I came here and tried my first jury trial as a second-year law student and had a successful prosecution with a guilty verdict at the end of that seven-day trial. And I want to thank Mr. Covello for his service to the community as well, and Paul Phillips as being a man of high integrity here in this community. I'm honored to be here as a candidate for district attorney, and I want to tell the voters a little bit about myself. I'm a career prosecutor, deputy district attorney. Over the last 3 years, after coming back from Iraq, I've been focused on felony sexual assault, child abuse, and domestic violence cases. These are the most difficult, the most traumatic cases that we deal with in our office. I am the only one here at this table, I believe, that's ever prosecuted that assignment, handled that assignment, and it's an honor to do so. The victims of these crimes have gone through the most difficult situation that they will ever face, and the way that we handle them and treat the victims and the way that we prosecute the offenders is very, very critical. But I don't only have prosecution experience. I'm a military veteran, a combat veteran. I've been to Iraq and been to Kosovo since 9/11. Over 21 years. I started out as a private. Today I serve as a major up at Camp Roberts. When you're trained in the military, whether it's as an enlisted soldier or as an officer, you're trained in leadership. Every step of the way, you're given training courses and you're taught and you're entrusted to lead other soldiers to accomplish a mission. One of the things that I like to talk about is the fact that the military is an organization that early on, it was the first integrated institution that we had in our country back during the Civil Rights Movement. And why that's important is because you have to accomplish a goal with the people that you have with you. And there are men and women from every walk of life, every race, every creed, every religion, and every background, every socioeconomic background you could imagine. You have to come together, put aside your differences, and get things done. I believe that's what I bring to the table here. With the 21 years of service in the Army, with having to make tough decisions under stress and under situations where people's lives could be lost, I've been able to handle that well. I'm proud to have the support of my fellow deputy district attorneys in the office, 23 of my fellow deputy district attorneys that know what it takes, that have worked with my opponent and myself for a long time, have said that I have the right skill set to lead this office. Law enforcement as well. My support comes from a broad-based sector of the community, veterans, law enforcement agencies, defense attorneys, civil attorneys, business folks, doctors. Essentially every person in our community that represents every different walk of life has got on board to support my campaign. So lastly, we're not electing a trial lawyer. We'll hear a lot about my opponents and their experience in trial. I have a whole lot of experience as well, many, many trials that I've conducted, but we're not electing a trial leader. We're electing a leader. And because of my experience, I'm able to lead day one.
Thank you, Dan Dow. He is one of the three candidates for district attorney that we're listening today to on this debate. My name is Larry Rutter. This is Public Radio KCBX. The next is we give each of the candidates, in the order they originally spoke, 2 minutes to respond to anything that they might have heard or to add to their remarks. Again, we go back to the beginning, Mr. Tim Covello, the assistant district attorney.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, there are many things as I said, many moving parts in a district attorney's office. And a district attorney's office has to partner with lots of different agencies and organizations. And what I'm proud to say is that I've been working with multiple agencies for a long time. In terms of AB 109, I can tell you I started working in treatment programs with our first treatment court, drug court, back in late 1997, 98. Wrote part of a federal grant for that. Worked on a multidisciplinary team until that was up and running. Went with the late Chris Money, Judge Money, back to Kentucky to train in how to do that. And I've worked on three treatment courts since. And the sort of treatment education that Paul was talking about is something that I've been dealing with and addressing for a decade and a half now. And it's building those relationships are why I have the support of five of our sitting police chiefs and even more of the former police chiefs who I worked with over the last 21 years, in addition to Jerry Shea, the elected district attorney who supports my candidacy. In addition, it's interesting to know when you work with treatment courts, when you work with the courts in general, I actually am the liaison to the Superior Court, have worked with them in their new case management system. We've gone live with a new case management system that was a two-year project of mine in our office. All that requires collaboration, and I can tell you that judges of our Superior Court aren't allowed to endorse. Some people have suggested that they can, but they can't. But what they can do is exercise their own political rights. And what I can tell you is that 11 of the 12 sitting judges on our bench, the people who are unbiased, who've known me for 21 years, who've known Dan for six, who work with the deputy DAs day in and day out, and who've known Paul Phillips for many of those years, those 11 of those judges have contributed to my campaign.
Tim Covello, thank you very much. Next, we'll hear a two-minute remark from Paul Phillips.
Thank you, Larry. Well, listening to Tim Covello and to Dan Dow and the comments and observations they've made, they come from being in the office of the district attorney. What I am offering is a perspective that comes from outside the office. And the reason why that's important is because, as I mentioned earlier, the district attorney's office has never found itself in the condition that it is now. And so to try and be able to be creative, to try and take care of some of the issues that truly exist as a result of what's happened in there over the last few years, sometimes you have to come outside of the box. And my 32 years as a criminal defense attorney, my 32 years of working in our criminal justice system, my 32 years as a professional attorney here in San Luis Obispo County, what I do is I will call upon all of that experience to try and help lead this office forward. You see, these programs and these ideas and these alternatives, that's the type of thing that I've been doing as an attorney for 32 years, trying to be creative in our resolution for the different people that come in front of the criminal justice system. As far as being a trial lawyer goes, there are lessons that can be learned being in that courtroom, having to litigate those cases. And as a result of those lessons, you're able to take that forward in your leadership role. There are certain things that you can talk to others about, but at the end of the day, you need to close the door and make that tough decision on your own. As a result of my vast experience in this county, in our courtrooms, I have that ability to know what is right for a particular case, what is right for a victim, what is right for our community, taking into consideration all the other input. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul Phillips. Another candidate for district attorney, Dan Dow.
You know, Paul is right. The condition of the district attorney's office today is fractured. It's broken. And quite a bit of that has actually been, unfortunately, the byproduct of the negative campaign that we've seen over the last several weeks. And I don't want any part of that. The people where I'm going and talking to during my campaign, they want to hear about the issues. And they want to hear what we're going to do to make this community a safer community. And so I've set forth three priorities. My top three priorities for this county under my leadership as district attorney are eradicating the gangs, being very tough and aggressively prosecuting the gangs, because we've had a sharp increase in gang activity in the North County and Paso Robles in particular because of the Monterey gangs pushing south. And we've had a dramatic increase in violent crime from gangs in the south. Santa Maria gangs are pushing up into Napomo and Oceano. And these two gangs from the north and the south want to take over our county. That's going to be my top priority, is to aggressively go after them. Secondly, heroin. The hard drugs like heroin is killing our young people, our youth, and our county. More than half of the drug cases in our juvenile court, that's kids from 15 to 17 years old, are heroin addicts. We've got to aggressively go after the distribution networks that are selling hard drugs to youth. I won't stand for it while I'm the district attorney. Lastly, we've had many people who are, in fact, retired folks in our community. They've been taken advantage of by financial crimes, fraud, investment fraud. I will start a cyber crimes task force that has an economic focus to make sure that we're doing everything we can to prosecute and protect those that are vulnerable in our community from ID theft and from financial fraud. This community cares about the future. They want to know that they'll have a strong leader, and I will be that strong leader, as evidenced by the endorsement of Mr. Dan Hilford, who was a public servant here for 40 years. He supervised Mr. Covello and myself, and he was in the courtroom on the other end for Mr. Phillips, and Dan Hilford believes that I'm the right guy to lead this office forward.
That was the voice of Dan Dow. Now we have a round of one-minute responses. We'll begin with Tim Covello.
Yeah. You know, I actually take issue with both Mr. Phillips and Mr. Dow when they talk about the office being fractured. We're functioning as well as we've ever functioned. The only fracture came when the political race began. And politics does weird things. And the politicization of the office and the fact that the deputy district attorneys, those 23 of them in the Government Attorneys Union, have elected to support Dan, it creates the assumption that their interest is the same as the community, and that's actually not necessarily so. If it were the same as the community, when the community came together and every union and bargaining unit in the county came together to share the pain of pension reform, they would have joined. Rather, that group sued the county. It's cost the county $500,000, and now they've chosen their selected partisan and one of their members and one of the least experienced members of the office, Mr. Dow. And so politics are what this is all about.
That was the voice of Tim Covello. Paul Phillips, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. I don't believe I ever used the word fracture. I think what I did was that the district attorney's office never found itself in the condition it's in now. And then people can draw their own conclusion, positive or negatively. I work with these people every single day. In terms of the top issues, the top issue right now has to do with the realignment, has to do with incarceration, has to do with the fact that we are just incarcerating too many people. The federal government, through the three-judge panel, had to go ahead and force the state to reduce numbers, and it's come home to roost. And so now we have to be creative in what we do to solve that issue, and I would be able to provide that creativity. In terms of the budget in the office itself, $15 million budget almost, while I would be able to take a look at that and say, well, do we need $15 million to do the job that we're doing right now?
Thank you. The voice of Paul Phillips. And now the voice of Dan Dow.
Thank you. In terms of creative solutions, I'm a collaborator. If you talk to my colleagues, if you talk to the defense lawyers, in fact, I'm very honored that last December of 2013, I was honored to be the recipient by our County Bar Association as the first prosecutor ever in the history of this award to be awarded the John L. Seitz Community Service Award. And that was because of my efforts that I put in to get a veterans treatment court started here for our county. A veterans treatment court is something that helps returning combat veterans who have some sort of psychological issue, perhaps sexual trauma, something from their service that caused them to get involved in the criminal justice system. And so we got that veterans treatment court started after more than a year and a half. Unfortunately, we had opposition from within the management of the district attorney's office. Neither Mr. Shea nor Mr. Covello wanted anything to do with it, and so I worked very, very hard on that initiative. I'm proud of the work that we put together, a very large group of folks like Dana Cummings, but that's the sort of creative thinking that I'm going to bring to the district attorney's office to make our community safer.
Thank you. That was the voice of Dan Dow. Now we've had the opening remarks portion of our debate here for candidates, the three candidates for district attorney of San Luis Obispo County here on Public Radio KCBX. Of course, the ballots need to be returned by the 3rd of June. That's the primary election day. And this is Public Radio KCBX.
And support for KCBX comes from Paso Arts Fest, Saturday, May 24th from 10 till 4 o'clock at the Paso Robles Downtown City Park, featuring art, music, wine, and a wet painting sale. Complete details are at pasoartsfest.com. Coming up at 2 o'clock, it's On Being, followed by Fresh Air at 3. This is Public Radio KCBX.
Hey, my name is Larry Rutter, and we have a debate going between the three candidates for district attorney for San Luis Obispo County, Tim Covello, Paul Phillips, and Dan Dow. And now we have a series of questions. Basically, some of the questions are to all the candidates. Some will just be the individual candidates. But after they've had 4 minutes to respond, each of the others will have 2 minutes to make a further elaboration on the response that they hear. The first question I'm going to direct to Mr. Phillips. The campaign between Mr. Covello and Mr. Dow has been going on for 6 months. You declared your candidacy less than 3 weeks ago. At the time you declared, you said you wanted to be considered a serious candidate. You told KCBX News and the Tribune that you expected to wage a serious campaign, in part using social media. But you're not using any social media that I'm familiar with. Nor do I see much evidence of a traditional campaign. Signs, calling, websites. And as you know, the Tribune has editorialized that you are get a delay of game brickbat. What are you really trying to do? Prolong an expensive and heated campaign another 5 months? To what end? Or are you calculating that your candidacy favors either of these two candidates? Why are you here today?
That's an excellent question. I'm here today because KCBX invited me to be here. Why am I the write-in candidate for district attorney? Is because I, like all people who've been watching this campaign for the last 6 months, I was hopeful that these two candidates would distinguish themselves positively from one another and to tell us how they would take the office forward differently than one another in a positive fashion. After the 6 months, that did not occur, at least to my satisfaction. And as a result, I went ahead and utilized the system that's out there to be a write-in candidate, to submit the requisite questions to be answered. I answered those questions. I submitted the signatures. Now, am I aligned with either of these gentlemen? No. Does my candidacy favor either of these gentlemen? No. This is a nonpartisan race. Do I want to see something extend out? No. What I want to do is I want to talk about the important issues here. The important issue is that we are incarcerating too many people. That's just not my opinion. That is the opinion of the federal court that mandated the change. That is now the law through AB 109. Our governor has come down just as recently as a couple of weeks ago to talk about the impact of that. And so I am here to offer a choice. I am here to say there is something going on the fourth floor, the courthouse annex, and the fourth floor is where the district attorney's office is located, even though they occupy other floors as well, but that's where the main floor is, the fourth floor. And my candidacy was to try and talk about some of these issues because people would come up to me in the community and say, who should I vote for? Who should I align myself with? And I really said, I need to wait and see what happens, see how they go ahead and distinguish themselves positively from one another. When that didn't happen and the time was running short, I decided I was going to go ahead and do this because I felt that it was my obligation. And so now they've had a six-month head start, and what I am going to do is talk about what I can do. And what I can do is I can come outside of the office. I can provide leadership. I can go ahead and rally people together to go ahead and be creative because right now you have what appears to be on one side of the ledger, management, on the other side of the ledger, labor. And if you look through the different endorsements that go throughout, it would seem that they're lining up that way. And it causes quite a challenge because our community is a tremendous community. Our law enforcement, tremendous law enforcement. But there has to be some change made. Now, I think I can do that because I've worked with all these people. And when I say all these people, I'm talking about the clerks, the paralegals, the investigators, the deputy district attorneys, the assistant district attorney, the chief deputies. I know what it takes to deal with people and to get results. And so I got into this because I wanted to be able to expand the discussion beyond just the two of these individuals talking about the non-issue. The issue is, what are we going to do to move forward positively? What are we going to do to keep this community tremendously safe, to answer the economic question that's out there? So that's why I'm in this race.
That was the voice of Paul Phillips, a writing candidate for district attorney. Mr. Gavello, you have 2 minutes if you would like to respond.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't agree with Paul. I think certainly I've tried to distinguish myself from my opponent, Mr. Dow, in a multitude of positive ways. I mean, I've distinguished myself by my 21-year career, by the fact that I've been in management longer than he's been in the DA's office. I can distinguish it by the trials that I've done when he's done one felony jury trial for the 6 years that he's been here. He talks about sexual assault cases, but he hasn't done them in terms of jury trials. So, but one of the things that I do agree with Paul on is that we are entering a new era, and I've been working on treatment courts since the 90s. I've worked on three of them, and Dan likes to say that he received opposition on Veterans Treatment Court, and it's just not so. I'm growing weary of hearing it. The fact of the matter is I've worked on three of them, and Dan brought Veterans Treatment Court. He deserves all the credit for Veterans Treatment Court, but in 2012, I was assigned to supervise it and draft policies and procedures. In February, they were sent to the court and probation. I talked with the probation chief and the assistant chief about those. Now, I couldn't participate like Dan did because I was actually putting together a case management system that was a 2-year project that changed and modernized our office. While I did that, I also tried the Destiny Myers murder case, the capital murder case against five people who killed someone. While I was working on those things, I actually created an electronic search warrant system that lets us get electronic search warrants from police vehicles in as little as 10 or 8 minutes. I worked on that with the court and other agencies. So the fact that I didn't make the kind of contribution Dan made or the kind of contribution that he thinks I might have made doesn't mean that we didn't support it. So I've tried in many, many ways to distinguish myself positively from my opponent.
The voice of Tim Covello. Dan Dow, you have 2 minutes.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the campaign did take, I have to agree with Paul, took a negative turn when my opponent started sending out mailers and television ads attacking me because I had support from a prominent defense lawyer in town who's actually not really a defense lawyer. He's a civil trial lawyer who happens to handle a few criminal cases here and there, Mr. Jim Murphy. What we have here is I've been talking about the issues. I've been talking about the priorities as I see them for this campaign in our community everywhere I go. Unfortunately, I have had to respond to my opponent's very false and negative mudslinging attacks. And I will do that. I'm a soldier. I'm a fighter. If somebody brings a fight to me, I'll fight back to point out the truth, but then switch my message back to what's important. It's important for you folks to know that not only did Mr. Covello say that it was wrong for me to take money from Mr. Murphy, but while he was the assistant district attorney, the number two in command, he went to Mr. Murphy's office and asked him for a sizable contribution, and Mr. Murphy said no. He said, I'm already supporting Dan. So it's only after that that my opponent decided to make an issue of it and try to attack me for it. That shows how disingenuous it is, and I'll tell you, I was appalled when that all started. It just shouldn't happen. So the things that the community is concerned about and what I keep hearing from them is let's talk about what you're going to do. I'm going to collaborate and bring people together as we did on the Veterans Treatment Court. And it's evidenced by the support. Every single law enforcement association that has endorsed in this campaign has endorsed me. These are detectives. These are deputies. These are patrol officers. The men and women that are protecting your children, my children, and everyone out in our communities who work with me every day know and they have the confidence that I can lead this office going forward, not to mention the broad support. So law enforcement knows I'm tough on crime, and the defense bar and the civil bar knows that I'm honest and I'm fair. And that's what you want. You want to have a broad-based leader who has support from both the defense and from law enforcement. I'm proud of that support, and that's what I'm going to lead this office with.
That was the voice of Dan Dow, and you're listening to Public Radio KCBX. This is the program Issues and Ideas. It is a live debate between the three candidates for District Attorney of San Luis Obispo County. Now, if you find that you miss a portion of this debate or would like to listen again or want to recommend listening to someone else, you should take note. Beginning shortly after this live broadcast, a recording of the debate will be up on our website, kcbx.org. And you just go to the News Talk and then scroll down to Issues and Ideas. And my name is Larry Rutter, and we have been asking questions. We asked Mr. Phillips to give us an idea of how serious he was about his campaign and what his issues were. Mr. Dow just made a few remarks concerning Mr. Covello and his operation of the office. So I'm going to give Mr. Covello 2 minutes to respond to Mr. Dow.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think Mr. Dow has talked a lot about mudslinging, but it's not mudslinging to point out what has been published and what exists in the public record. And to point out where someone may have stepped in it is not the same as mudslinging. And the fact of the matter is, as the Tribune reported, and as the ethical experts at Hastings College of the Law and Common Cause pointed out, what this community saw was Mr. Dow taking money from a criminal defense attorney while he was handling a matter, amending charges. But what is just as important, you know, it's absolutely improper to do that, and it didn't come to light until much later, until Mr. Dow did recuse himself. And I believe he was quoted in the paper as saying when it got to be enough money that he thought it created the appearance of impropriety, that he withdrew. The fact of the matter is you can't appear on a case for 2 months, make multiple appearances, add charges. And in addition to that, what's lost in all of this is the fact that Mr. Dow even did recuse himself. That is, he had two teenage victims of a serious sexual assault, and when he was offered money, he accepted that money, he continued to appear, but rather than continue with the case, he didn't. He took the money. And I don't know a prosecutor in the state of California that would do that, who would abandon the case and the victims for money. And nobody forced Mr. Dow to take the money. No one forced Mr. Dow to keep the money. No one forced Mr. Dow to keep taking the money, and those numbers are astronomical. Now, he wants to say that that I asked for money from Mr. Murphy, and I absolutely dispute that, but it's not the point. Had I done that, there was no conflict of interest there at all. So I haven't taken money from defense attorneys in this campaign, or at least solicited money from defense attorneys, and I don't know that I have any reportable amounts. And I think it's a conflict of interest, and wait till you see the kinds of numbers Mr. Dow has taken from the defense bar.
That was the voice of Tim Covello. I'm going to continue along this line of discussion, and we'll go back to Mr. Phillips. Do you have any comment to make about the remarks made by Mr. Dow and Mr. Covello?
I want to make a remark on that. I listened to the question, and I realized I didn't answer the first question that was directed to me about social media and seriousness of all of this.
Yes, and she didn't.
And so I'm getting back to that. It came to me, Larry, as I was listening to both Mr. Dow and Mr. Covello. The social media is using Facebook, and the facebook.com/PaulPhillipsSLODA. And if people want to know more about me, they can go there. I'm not going and printing up a whole bunch of things and putting them in yards and getting big signs because I'm not asking anybody for any money. I'm not asking anybody for any endorsements. But again, it would seem that there have been lots of endorsements made in these last 6 months and a lot of money been given. And so I'm not going to go out and seek that, nor ask for that at this time. But what I am going to do is get the message out. And so by the social media, by Facebook, I've got idea relative to getting my message out. And the message is that we have problems that need to be solved. And the problem is the incarceration. And that's just not something coming from me. But the district attorney in Los Angeles, Jackie Lacey, just a couple of weeks ago in the LA Times, stated that we are incarcerating too many people. So it's not just coming from a defense attorney, someone with experience who deals with people every single day on an individual basis to try and create a resolution to somehow keep our community safe while at the same time holding people accountable and getting the services that they need so that our community can be whole and can be safe. So that's the answer. May not be direct to you what you asked me, Larry, but that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Dan Dow, do you have anything to say with respect to what Mr. Covello said?
I do. Unfortunately, this is old news, and the public is tired of it, what Mr. Covello keeps talking about. The only reason he's talking about it is to distract people from what's really important. He doesn't have the broad-based support that I have from law enforcement and from the civil bar, including the criminal defense attorney bar. I'm telling you, it's actually very hypocritical what he's saying. Every successful DA candidate around the state of California accepts contributions from private lawyers, including defense lawyers. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Jerry Shea, I pulled his contribution list from 1998. He has many contributions from defense lawyers, including George O'Neill, a local defense lawyer. Mr. Covello has taken money from Elon Funky Ballou, a very prominent defense lawyer, $120 in cash, which he failed to report this week when he signed his contribution disclosure form under the penalty of perjury. Either he can't manage money or his financial reports, or he intentionally falsely signed that statement when he filed it with the county. Now, that's said to point out the fact that all he's doing is what the defense lawyer did in the movie Chicago, Richard Gere. He tap danced around, he did a lot of razzle dazzle, and tried to distract the people in that case from the truth and what the evidence showed. That's often a defense lawyer tactic. Unfortunately, my opponent has decided to do that in this race. It's wrong, it's bad for our community, and I'm going to continue to talk about the issues that we care about. Our children in our community are having access to heroin. They're dying. We've lost 8 young people in North County over the last couple of years due to heroin overdoses. If our young people have access to heroin, we must do something to crack down on that. Go after the drug dealers that are dealing those hard drugs to our young people. We've got to be tough on the gangs and eradicate them. As far as being collaborative and starting up with some other issues to deal with the overcrowding, I'm going to be doing that. I've talked about starting, opening up a work release program where people can go out to Camp San Luis Obispo, and for the nonviolent offenders, they can go to work during the day and stay there at night under minimum security.
Thank you very much, Dan Dow. Mr. Covello, you just have 2 more minutes on this topic.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, you know, Dan keeps accusing me of mudslinging and then accusing me of doing things incorrectly or inappropriately. He's just made an allegation that I took money from somebody and didn't report it. You know, I deny that. I don't know where he has information related to that. And I do know that Mr. Funky Ballou came to a dinner where the tickets were $60 a piece, but that is not a reportable contribution. And so I don't understand why he would make this sort of an allegation without any sort of evidence. You know, the ultimate problem here is the politicization of this race. And Mr. Dow comes in with a history of being in politics, having run for the Assembly of the Bay Area, and he's engaged in a number of tactics that simply don't address the real issues in this case. I mean, I've got 21 years with this county, and I think the support that I have from law enforcement agencies, line law enforcement folks, they're on my website, the police chiefs, but more importantly, the judges, in terms of treatment programs, in terms of how we're going to deal with AB 109, all of the treatment court judges have contributed to my campaign because I've collaborated with all of them. The community intervention court I've been working on for a year. These are all things that I've been doing for 21 years, and until Dan Dow came here 6 years ago and put one jury trial under his belt, no one has ever accused me of anything. No one has ever complained in any way about me. And this is all just political nonsense. And so, you know, I shouldn't have to defend myself in this way, but I guess that's the nature of politics. And it's too bad because the DA's office should be the most apolitical, non-political office in government.
You're listening. That was, incidentally, the voice of Tim Covello, one of our 3 candidates for District Attorney, San Luis Obispo County. And you're listening to this live debate on Public Radio KCBX. 2 of these candidates, their names will be on the ballot with the June 3rd primary election. That's Mr. Covello and Mr. Dow, and the third, a write-in, Paul Phillips, on Public Radio KCBX. Well, and the next question has to do with managerial style and managerial experience. Mr. Dow can claim the endorsement of most of the prosecutors employed by the DA's office, the lawyers. Their claim is they feel that Mr. Covello, I'm probably simplifying greatly here, his administrative style is top-down, unapproachable, insensitive, aloof. Mr. Dow's most extensive administrative experience seems to have been in the military, and not aware of Mr. Phillips having administrative experience beyond managing a very successful law office. The question is, does experience count? Does style make a difference? And now, there are a lot of very successful administrators in this world, in both the private and public sector, about whom it might be said they were inaccessible, even autocratic. And there have been others who have been successful with a much more collegial style. So I've got some questions, and I'm going to start out by asking Mr. Dow, first of all. What hard evidence do you have that Mr. Covello's style as an assistant DA has had a detrimental impact on the actual work of successfully prosecuting crimes in the DA's office? And you have 4 minutes.
Well, thank you, Larry, for the question. First of all, leadership does matter. Style does matter, and experience does as well. A leader has to inspire. They have to be able to motivate the folks in an organization to achieve whatever goal or mission it is that they have to that they've set out for themselves. In our case, we're talking about public safety. We're talking about prosecution of cases. We're talking about handling the cases all the way through. And our office has about 95 employees. Many of them are not attorneys. Many of them are investigators and victim advocates and our clerical support staff and paralegals. This entire organization needs to have someone at the top who inspires them, someone who leads the office in a manner where these individuals know that at the end of the day, they're cared about, that they're going to be supported when they need to be supported, and that the leader has their back. And loyalty is a two-way street. When the workers in an organization, the members of an organization, know that they have that kind of leadership, they will follow. And I've seen a lot of examples of poor leadership in the military, and I've seen some wonderful examples of fantastic, outstanding leadership. Those that are outstanding will have people following them, and those people will follow them not blindly, but they'll follow them because they know that the leader cares about them and they want to reciprocate. And in our situation here in our office, if you look at the fact that there's not one deputy district attorney that's working in our office that has endorsed my opponent after he's been in management for a number of years, I don't have to go much further. And, you know, I'm not here to attack Mr. Covello and pinpoint out all of his faults. The good Lord knows we all have faults, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. But I will tell you, if you just look at the differences in terms of who's supporting him, if you want to see a leader, you want to look and find someone who people are following. People are following me, and they've told me that they want me to lead this office. I have several letters from my colleagues in the office. I'd like to share one of them briefly right now, one from Lee Cunningham. He's been in the office for 30 years as a deputy district attorney. He said, "I've known Dan a long time. I've always been impressed with his integrity. I truly believe that every decision he makes as your elected district attorney will be guided by three criteria. What is the morally right thing to do? What is the legally correct thing to do? And what will preserve and enhance the safety of the citizens of San Luis Obispo County?" Now, he was a law enforcement officer here for the city of San Luis Obispo before he went to law school. Then he was a criminal defense lawyer for a few years, and now he's been a long-term, very highly respected deputy district attorney in our office. He's been here longer than Mr. Covello, longer than myself, and perhaps as many years as Mr. Phillips here in the community. But it's an example of someone who is in the office who has recognized, from having worked with my opponent and myself, leadership qualities that I possess, and you can infer from that there's a lack of leadership that he does not see in Mr. Covello. Eric Dobroth, a gentleman who came up from Ventura County. His father is a retired judge. His mother and father both worked in the district attorney's office in Ventura, and Eric is a fine prosecutor, one of the best younger district attorneys that we have. He says Dan has a phenomenal work ethic. He seeks severe penalties for violent offenders. In probation cases, he seeks probation terms that serve the safety of the victim and the community. Dan is collaborative. He consistently seeks input from law enforcement and other affected parties. Dan has impeccable integrity, and over the years, I know him as an honest and conscientious man. I have others, but these, I am proud of the support of these colleagues that know what it takes to be a district attorney. They know I have the technical experience that, and I also have the tactical experience to be able to do it. I have over 25 jury trials. I stopped counting at 25. My opponent keeps trying to throw out there that I only have one. It's just not right.
Mr. Dye, I don't think you quite understood or didn't respond to my question. I'm going to just give you 1 minute to see if you can respond to it. I said, what hard evidence do you have that the unpopular management style, as you see it, has had, what hard evidence that has had a negative effect on the prosecution of crime?
Well, I will tell you, Larry, that folks are not willing to stand up and support Mr. Cavallo. That speaks volumes right there. I mean, that's without having people come here and say bad things about Mr. Cavallo, they're not supporting him. And that's pretty hard evidence, I would submit to you. You know, I'll tell you that under toxic leadership, commanders in the military are removed from command. And that's what we would have under Mr. Cavallo's leadership, particularly after the attacks that he has done against myself, against my colleagues in this office. The hard evidence that I have is the way that he's treated me, the way that he's treated my colleagues over the course of this campaign. That is how he treats people within the office. And I don't want to get into negative campaigning. That's not what I'm about, Larry. And so I appreciate the question, but I want to talk about what's important to the people of San Luis Obispo and just say that under me, they're going to have someone that respects my colleagues, respects my subordinates, and inspires them, trains them, and motivates them to have a better office than it was the day that I took office.
And Mr. Cavallo, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, the reason Dan can't answer the question is because there is no hard evidence. As a matter of fact, I never heard anything negative about myself, and there's nothing in any evaluations either of mine or any of those that I've done over the many of them I've done over the 6 years I've been in management. You started hearing only these the whisperings of these things when Mr. Dow decided to run for office. And frankly, by the time I got into the race, when he first came out and let Jerry Shea know that he was going to run against him, and I believe Mr. Shea's quoted as having been blindsided by that, when that happened, Mr. Dow had 18 of those 23 individuals on his website by the time I even got into the race. So I did go address the union, and I told them that I wouldn't ask for any support from the union or anyone in the office because, one, I'm the second in command, and there's an issue of a conflict of interest and creating pressure, and I haven't done that. But what I can tell you is that I've had my people's back for a very long time, and they know that. They know I've defended them in the state bar court. They know I've defended them when they've been complained about by other agencies. So this is all new, and this all happened when I let them know that I couldn't support them in their lawsuit against the county, that it's absolutely improper for a DA to take a position in that, and it just solidified where they were. And so now, as the election goes on, I keep hearing more whisperings and more things that would imply or that, as Mr. Dow says, you should infer. But there is no evidence because I've had these people's back for a very long time. And I will again when I'm the district attorney.
The voice of Tim Cavallo. Mr. Paul Phillips, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Larry. Listening to both Tim Cavallo and Dan Dow on this issue is the reason why, one of the reasons why I'm in this race. It appears that the talented people in the district attorney's office, which is the person who you meet at the reception area, the clerical staff, the paralegals, the investigators, the deputy district attorneys, and everybody in there, that they deserve to have a leader that will help them get through the challenges that we all face as a community. So fresh leadership, a different approach. Obviously, I don't have, as I told you before, endorsements from either of the sides that these two gentlemen have talked about. I haven't asked for it. It would be foolish to think that I would even do that at this late date. Could I have gotten them? That, who knows? But that's not the point. The point is that a leader leads from the front. And what that means is that a leader has done those things before. The leader can go to the most lowly of perceived spots in a team and be able to make them feel like they're worth something, and to take the most talented individual on that team and make them feel like they're also worth something, but they're not what the team is about. You see, there's no I in team. And right now what it seems to be is that there's an us and a them. And you cannot have an effective company. You cannot do things properly. You cannot do what the community wants. You cannot do what the law requires if there is not proper leadership. And what leadership does, it makes those who are being led feel like they are empowered to do the best that they can do. And so I will lead from the front. I will not take any of the praise, but I will take all the criticism.
You are listening to KCBX, a debate between the three candidates for district attorney, San Luis Obispo County, in the primary election. The ballots are due on June 3rd. They are Tim Covello, Paul Phillips, and Dan Dow. And we're talking about leadership and managerial style, as well as the substance of that. And I asked Mr. Dow about hard evidence of how one of his opponents' style detrimentally affects the DA's office. And I'm going to ask Mr. Covello, since you've been a deputy DA, excuse me, an assistant DA, in my lexicon, and a deputy is always over an assistant, but not in the DA's office, at least not in this case. You are the assistant district attorney. And since you've been the assistant district attorney, how effective has the DA's office been in prosecuting crime?
And how long is this?
Yeah, 2 minutes, please.
Okay, thank you. Essentially, what we've been doing the exact same thing. We're doing new things because of AB 109. But in terms of our prosecution, our success rates, and in terms of this community feeling safe, the numbers have been great. We have certain performance measures that we have to meet in our budget, each budget cycle. And we meet those measures virtually every time. And so that has been consistent from the time that I first became chief deputy 6 years ago up until now. But it's time for us to actually go beyond those performance measures because we need some changes. There are a number of changes we need. We need to restructure the office. We have a new case management system that is going to make us more efficient than we've ever been. But it also gives us other powerful resources to improve the office, to make us more efficient. This case management system will give us more ability to track cases, more ability to track the performance of our deputy DAs. When we went live with this new case management system in November, there were some grumblings. People talked about the fact that it felt like Big Brother was there, because now we're able to monitor people's caseloads more accurately than we ever have. We've essentially come into a new century. We've got computers in the courtroom. And so these are all things that are going to actually improve how we do things. The sheer numbers in terms of convictions, some of these will change because of AB 109. But I think we are better positioned now than we've ever been to make improvements in the office, to do more with less, and to actually increase the performance of our folks. And that's one of the things that I've let the deputies know that I want to do. I want a complete reorganization so that we can redistribute the caseload in a more fair and even fashion, so that it's better for everybody in the office, staff and attorneys.
That was the voice of Tim Covello. Mr. Phillips, again, we're talking about managerial experience and style. What do you think would be your administrative style, top-down, collegial? And what, in your experience, prepares you to be an administrator of such a large office?
Well, people are people are people, Larry, and I'm a people person. Having been an instructor at Cal Poly through the years 1982 to 2010, dealing with class loads of 65 students at a time with a 10-minute break and turn around and get another 65. So there's 100 students, right? 130 students right there. And dealing with them, getting them motivated, getting the material, meeting the description of the catalog, and getting them excited about learning something, getting them invested in their education. So you take that over the years that I did, literally thousands and thousands of students, not to mention when I went to Cuernavaca, Mexico, and taught in a master's program at Tec de Monterrey in international business transactions. Again, getting the material there, getting these students there, getting them excited about it, doing things. We take it in just your daily life. I practice as a lawyer for 32 years, managing that, going ahead and with my family. But then in terms of just people themselves, getting them to get forward and get going, what I do is, as I said earlier, we have people who aren't lawyers in that office, and we have people who are big case, high-profile trial lawyers. They all work in the district attorney's office. I have the ability to go ahead and make them all feel important. And that's just not smoke and mirrors. That's the genuineness that I bring to the job. I've done it my entire life. I've always been in that position, and I still do it now, and I would love to have the opportunity to do it in the office of the district attorney, because I can make positive out of what appears to be something less than that right now.
Thank you, Paul Phillips. You're listening to a debate among the three candidates for District Attorney San Luis Obispo County. I'm going to take just a breather here of a minute or so, and we'll be back with more questions for our candidates.
And this is Public Radio KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. Time to check in on the KCBX community calendar. Cal Poly's Early Music Ensemble will be performing the music of The Fabulous French on Friday night at Mission San Luis Obispo. They will be joined by several faculty musicians, including KCBX's own Paul Sievertson. For all the details, check out the community calendar at kcbx.org. Support for KCBX is provided by the 21st Annual Avila Beach Blues Festival on Sunday, May 25th, this year featuring Greg Allman, John Mayall, and KCBX favorite Trombone Shorty. Tickets and information are available at 888-825-5484. It's Public Radio KCBX. Back to Issues and Ideas.
Hi, my name is Larry Rutter, and we have a debate going among the three candidates for District Attorney San Luis Obispo County. They are Tim Covello, Paul Phillips, and Dan Dow. If you missed a portion of this debate or would like to listen again or want to recommend listening to a friend, you might want to take note of this. Beginning shortly after this broadcast, this live broadcast, which it will be on our website at kcbx.org. You go to News Talk on the homepage and then scroll down to Issues and Ideas. I'd like to you all to imagine that we are now past 10 o'clock, let's say, in the evening on the 3rd of June, and one of you has been elected district attorney. Let me start with Mr. Dow. One of our listeners asked, you were elected district attorney with the overwhelming support of your deputy district attorneys in the office. What would you do if one of them stepped out of line or behaved badly or handled a bad prosecution that brought discredit to you as a district attorney? And they were a big supporter of you in the election. How would you handle that?
Well, I'd handle it like any good leader would. I'd look into all the facts and circumstances, and I'd follow, of course, our policies and procedures that are set forth by the civil service system to make sure that they had a fair process throughout. But if it was clear that something was done wrong and there needed to be some sort of discipline imposed, I would do it. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that can do it, and I have done it. When I was in Iraq, we had a situation where one of our very own in our legal team was involved in committing some misconduct. And it was something that was brought to my attention from another soldier. These were subordinate soldiers of mine. I brought it to my higher-ups and let them know about it. And I'll tell you, it was difficult to do it, because on the one hand, there were some folks that thought, you know what, we just got here in Iraq. This is a rule that we weren't used to. We don't want to draw any attention to our section, and some folks suggested maybe we just handle it internally and we don't make a matter of it to the command. And I said, no, we can't do that. We're charged with upholding the standard. As the JAG office is in the military, we have to work and support commanders to make sure that the rules that are meant to be followed are followed. And if our office can't follow the rules the way that we need to, then you can't trust the system. And that's important in a district attorney's office. So absolutely, I would have no problem. I'd be disappointed for sure because we have fine men and women that are public servants that have given many of their years of life to work here in our county. So I would not expect that that'll happen, but if it does, I have the experience necessary. I've done it before, and I will do it again. But I'll tell you, I'm proud to have the support of these folks because they're hardworking San Luis Obispans. They want a great environment where they're valued, and I will value their work, and I'll make sure that the people of San Luis Obispo know what great work they're doing for our county.
That was the voice of Dan Dow, candidate for district attorney. Mr. Covello, also a candidate for district attorney. Let's say you're elected, and it's now after the polls have closed and the results have been issued. And given that most of your assistant DAs or your deputy DAs have endorsed your opponent, if you're elected, how would you proceed to deal with them and garner their support and improve their morale?
You know, for me, that's a relatively easy answer because it's something that I answered when somebody asked me when I first got into the race. You know, as I said, before I entered the race, Dan had 18 of them up on his website, and they said, how are you going to do this, go into this? And I think what's important to know is, as I said, I haven't taken this personally because, one, I haven't actually heard any real hard evidence of anything I've done wrong. So I kind of recognize it for the political process that it is. And it's a political process, and they've made their choice for whatever their reasons are. But I don't feel differently about them, particularly with regard to their work. And so in dealing with them, I will deal with them as I have for the last 6 years as a supervisor. And I'm the only person in this debate who actually has had to deal with progressive discipline through the Human Relations Department and through the Civil Service Code. I'm the only one who's had to discipline somebody for having engaged in unethical conduct. And I would do it in the same way, because what you have to understand is when you lead an office like this, one of the things that people often forget about is that process is really everything. And you have due process is something that anyone who commits any sort of an infraction, whether it's in the workplace or outside, is entitled to. You know, we give our criminal defendants due process. Well, we have to give due process to those who work in the office as well. And so you have to do it in a measured way when you have to discipline, and you have to do it only in the most just way. And you have to do it genuinely caring about the people that are there and genuinely caring about what they bring to the office. And I'm not blind to what people bring to the office, but I don't think it's bashing people to say that people have to be held accountable. And that's what I believe in. And I think that's what I would do as the district attorney, is just make sure that people are being held accountable in the most fair and just fashion as possible.
Tim Covello. Mr. Paul Phillips, you've never been a prosecutor. Probably face some of the current prosecuting DAs as an adversary in court. What steps would you take if you were elected, and this was a day after the election, to assure the staff of DAs that you're comfortable and competent changing tables in the courtroom, figuratively speaking?
That's a very good question, Larry. The way our courtroom is designed, you really wouldn't have to change tables. You just slide down one side or the other. I have had the good fortune of working with all of the deputy district attorneys, the two chief deputies, Mr. Covello as the assistant and Mr. Shea as the district attorney throughout my career. And one thing that I have been able to accomplish is that we have, I don't say adversarial, but you advocate for your side depending upon what the issue is. And I've always been a strong advocate, but at no time have I ever taken that to the point where I'm going to take that and crush someone as a result of the advocate that I'm doing, the advocacy that I'm doing. That's not my style. It's never been my style. So what I will do is I will lead. They know who I am. They know who Paul Phillips is. And if I tell them something, they know that that's the way it is. And in terms of how do we deal in a leadership role, well, I can lead. And I can go ahead and take the skills that the people have, the men and women in that office have, and we can collaborate together, we can come together, and I'll listen to them and what suggestions that they've got. And the fact is that there are a lot of hardworking people in there. So we talk about accountability. We talk about holding them to a standard. These are very, very talented, hardworking people. They know what's asked of them. And if the job is not getting done, we'll talk about it. We'll see what can we do to make sure that they're satisfied and they're doing their job and they're being supported. And that's what I'll do. And they know that I'll do it, and I could do it day one.
Thank you, Paul Phillips. Well, gentlemen, I've exhausted the questions I have in front of me. Now we have an opportunity for the three of you to give us a wrap-up statement. You each will have 3 minutes to make a statement, and if I've got this right, we are going to reverse the order of the opening statements and begin with Mr. Dow, Mr. Dan Dow.
So much for hosting this. It's a great service to our community. And I am Dan Dow, candidate for district attorney. I'd ask you to take a look at my website. It's dandow.com. That's dandow.com. Please watch the 4-minute YouTube video that I have there that sets forth my priorities. It gives you an overview of my background and the support that I have. And I would encourage you to go there. Once again, dandow.com. I am proud to be serving the community of San Luis Obispo County now as a deputy district attorney, as I have for the last 6.5 years here. Prior to that, I was a deputy district attorney in Riverside County, a county with a tremendous amount of crime, very high numbers of gang violent crime. And in the very first year that I was in Riverside County, I was honored to be named as Deputy District Attorney, Prosecutor of the Year for the office down there when I was on a misdemeanor trial team. As well, during that same year, I was advanced to the felony trial team because of the work that I had done and the confidence that the office had in my abilities. I worked on gang crimes, worked on theft cases, fraud cases, a whole gamut of just about every kind of case you could imagine down there in Riverside County. After 2 years in Riverside, there was an opening here in San Luis Obispo County, and I had long wanted to return to the Central Coast because this is where I wanted to raise my family. Position came open, and right at the very same time Mr. Covello was put into management, it was virtually the same month that I came here as a deputy district attorney, having handled a felony assignment in Riverside County, and then started out here prosecuting misdemeanors because that's where every new attorney here starts out. I was a good fit in this office. We've got wonderful people, a very mature office, professionals, people that love being prosecutors, that love to care about this community, and I've done very well. And I'm very proud of the reputation that I've earned as a prosecutor for being someone who's very tough on the violent offenders and the child molesters. I've got people serving life in prison many times over for the various cases that I've handled, and I'm proud of my record. I'm proud also of the fact that not only do I have a record for being very tough on crime, but I have a record with the defense bar and the civil bar for being compassionate and being someone that's very fair and honest. Integrity has never been something that somebody's questioned with me. As Paul was mentioning about his skills of being a people person, people see me in that same way, as someone who cares about the people that I work with. So as the next district attorney, you have my commitment that I will work very hard to make this a safe community as it is today, even safer tomorrow. And I will treat everyone with respect and dignity, whether it's my colleagues in the office, whether it's opposing counsel or the judicial officers in this county or this community, or a voter or a citizen who is concerned. I'd urge you to vote for Dan Dow on June 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan Dow. Paul Phillips, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much, Larry. I have appreciated the chance to be here today and be able to share a little bit about who I am. And if people want more information, as I said earlier, they can go to facebook.com/PaulPhillipsSLODA and there's more information there, and I would invite people to do that. The biggest issue that we've got right now is we are incarcerating too many people. It costs over $55,000 per year to house someone in the Department of Corrections. By comparison, we spend $7,500 a year for children K through 12 in public education. Education is what we need to do. So we have the incarceration component because there are people who need to be locked up. There are people who have traded away their freedom because of their behavior. So what we have to do is we have to be creative in what we do and how we spend these resources. And working with the sheriff in trying to be able to provide for the citizens of our community, those who have been victimized, those who live here, and those who are defendants, those who are prosecuted, those who are convicted, those who are sentenced. And there's a group out there, we have the mental health people, those people who are suffering from mental illness, and that we know, not talking about Tascadero State Hospital, but just those who are in our community wandering around trying to make things work, and unfortunately they come before the law. We need to be more sensitive to their needs. We need to find a way to be able to service that group of our community members because it affects us all. So what we do is that we work with our sheriff, and he is being very creative in trying to find a way to deal with that segment of our population. I will commit that we need to do that. We can go ahead, and there's not the need, I don't think, for housing additional inmates at the county jail relative to work release. We can actually go ahead and do the electronic monitoring. We can go ahead and give people the ankle bracelet and get them back to work, paying their fines, paying their restitution, being a active, full member of our community, paying back what they owe as a result of what they did wrong. What I would like to see is our community coming together, recognizing that it's no longer economically viable to just lock people up without the consideration that we have to provide education, we have to provide treatment, whether we like that or not. But it makes us all a better community. Our community is only as good as its weakest link, and that's everyone in between. Our job is to take care of our victims, take care of our community, and write it in, fill it in, fill it in, write it in. Paul Phillips, District Attorney.
Thank you, Paul Phillips. Mr. Tim Covello, you have the last word.
Thank you, Larry, and thanks, KCBX, and the listeners for tuning in. You know, I listened to Paul, and he's is artful in describing things. He's a great trial lawyer. But the things he's talking about are things I've been working on now for 3 years with AB 109. I've met with the custodial staff about overcrowding issues. I've written the memos and received the memos about pretrial release. I've revised our sentencing guidelines. I sit on the Behavioral Health Oversight Committee. I sit on other committees. I work with other department heads and the undersheriff in addressing these problems. I've, as I said, I've worked with several of the treatment courts, most recently the community intervention court that we have in San Luis that was really pushed by Chief Gazelle. I worked with members of the community action team and folks in behavioral health who all support my candidacy. As a matter of fact, I had the great pleasure of being somewhere the other night where I was introduced by someone whose son I prosecuted years ago who had behavioral health issues, mental health issues, and she introduced me as her favorite prosecutor because I was able to get him the services he needed, despite the fact that he was charged with a serious crime. So these are all things that are not new to me. They're not theory. They're actually what I've been working on and working on a daily basis with our criminal justice partners and with other partners. And I think these are the things that I bring to the table that are reality and that are not theory. And in terms of serving this community, what I bring to the table is 21 years, a 21-year record of proven success, whether it's trial work, working my way up through the management to a felony team leader, then chief deputy, then assistant district attorney, and that didn't happen over 21 years by accident. that happened because at each level there were successes and that I moved the office a little bit further on down the line. And I think I can do that now. In fact, I know I can do that now. And the fact that there may have been some politicization in the office, that's not a concern to me because I serve really no constituency other than the people. Dan talks about his support from one percentage of the office. And he talks about those members of the Government Attorneys Union, and he talks about the criminal defense attorneys who support him. I don't have constituencies like that. I serve only the people of the state of California and the people of the county of San Luis Obispo, and I've done so honorably for the last 21 years. And I hope that come June 3rd, this community will keep me as their district attorney, and I'd ask them to go to my website, timcovello.com, and to look carefully and think hard and look at the people who support me, judges, police chiefs, the current district attorney, and I'd be happy to serve as your district attorney.
Thank you, Tim Covello, Paul Phillips, Dan Dow. For sitting with us for the last hour and 20 minutes, and giving us a greater insight into the candidates for this election. I feel honored to have been in the room with you gentlemen, and I think we're lucky to have you as candidates for office. And we just want to let our listeners know that if you want to listen to this online, if you missed a portion of it, go to our website, kcbx.org, go to News Talk, and scroll down to Issues and Ideas. My name is Larry Rutter. Christina Favuzzi has been our timekeeper. Thank you very much.